How many people are going to make $1 million this year? If you want to start a business, you got to have a hunger in your gut. You got to have a hunger in your gut. You cannot be afraid of 18-hour days. You got to think differently, and you can't be afraid. You can't have fear. You have to look. You have to look forward. You have to say, you know, I'm going to do this. No matter what I'm going to do, I'm going to get it done. And when you're a business owner, you can't plan. But I've seen a lot of people that are going to school, that are going to MBAs and all that, and they try to start business. They can't do it. There's benefit in having a check every week.
So welcome once again to an awesome episode of Connected Minds. Now, if you're here once again listening to this podcast, then I'm sure that you get value from the content that we release. Today, I'm going to have a conversation with Ken Banks, who is an entrepreneur, a businessman, a strategist who owns Banks Global. Banks Global is a construction and development company in Maryland. He's done great works in the skyline of Maryland up to a tune of $100 million. Now, if any one of you is here and is listening to us, then I'm sure you would want to stick around and listen to the cues that he's going to give us when it comes to real estate companies, how he's done it over the years. Look, he's been in business for over 50 years. And for me, it's certainly a man that I want to sit down and have a chat with. Mr. Banks.
Yes.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Yeah. And today, I really just wanted to find out, you know, what your background in terms of real estate is when you first started and the ropes that you've taken to get to this level.
You know, I first started in the construction industry. And so I was in construction for a number of years. I started my construction company in 1980.
Whoa. So
I was 28 years old and went from doing work in residential kind of construction and gradually went into commercial, and then so we built some of the largest structures in the Washington, D.C. area, Baltimore area, and back in the States. One was a $600 million hospital for Johns Hopkins. That was a joint venture. Another one was the Hilton Hotel in Baltimore, and another was a 5,000-seater. And these are multi-hundreds of million-dollar jobs, USD. And so that's where I started. I needed office space. And so why not have an office space where you own the building? Mm. And so I bought a building and moved in with my offices. And economically, it made sense because I'm paying myself rent from my company. You know, my company pays me rent, the owner of the building, that kind of stuff. And tax-wise, it works out a little bit better. And I use my company to do the construction. So wait a minute, this is a pretty good deal, right? And so I began to buy more and more properties and bigger properties. And where I would, you know, find the financing, do the construction, and then lease them out or rent them out. And that was my model for a number of years. And then at a certain point in time, there were a couple of projects that came by, they were just too big. I couldn't handle them myself. It was just too big. And so, and one was, this was my first one, but one was the redevelopment of 88 acres around Johns Hopkins Hospital. Hmm. It was massive, multi-billion dollar project. And I knew it was much too big for me, right? Hmm. But I had the political contacts and be able to be a strong person to be able to get that project done in the state of Maryland. And so we went out and found partners to be able to do this project with. And so when you develop a partnership, now there's a couple of different joint ventures. The first joint venture I had was with the company, and I had the job, and it was the redevelopment of 500 apartments.
Apartments,
just
right.
Apartments, just a redevelopment. It was just rehab. But it was a very complicated structure, financial structure, and a lot of paperwork that had to be done, et cetera, et cetera. And I wasn't really set up for that. We were set up to do the construction. And so my first joint venture with one of the largest construction companies in America, Whiting and Turner. I said, look, you guys do the paperwork, take care of that, and we'll take care of the construction. It was a 50-50 joint venture.
Right.
And so I came in, we put our superintendents on the project, we ordered the material, we had the subcontractors, and we did that work, and they did the other side of that, the administrative side and all that, and it worked out beautifully. And so that was my first joint venture, which worked out very well. And it's a joint venture that I brought to them. And so other joint ventures are much bigger.
You know, with all the businesses that you've done,
yes,
right, and all the experiences that you've built, what are some of the things, the struggles in between that you had to overcome?
Struggles in usually manpower.
Okay.
In the construction world, anyway, there's manpower because it's like a feast or famine. You get these big jobs and you hire people and you get all these people, right? And at times I had almost 100 people in my business. You know, not a huge company, but 100 people.
No, that's quite a lot.
A lot of people running around, right?
Yes.
And you know, you're hoping that you have work for those 100 people all the time, but of course, sometimes it drops down.
Yes.
And so now you don't need 100, now you need 70. And so what do you do with the 30 people? Because you're thinking that maybe next month this job is going to come through. You know what I mean? So those are the kind of things in between. And it's also the cyclic kind of economic times that all countries go through.
Yes.
And so there's these down times, you know, or this right now where most of the world is in high inflation.
Yes.
So what do you do during high inflation? And so as a business owner, can you take advantage of that? Can you take advantage of that? And you see a lot of businesses now have taken advantage of high inflation by raising their prices when they didn't necessarily have to. Mm. And so that's happening all across the world, where businesses have yes, their costs have increased because of supply chain difficulties.
Yeah.
But when those supply chain difficulties became manageable, the costs haven't come down. They've stayed up. In fact, they keep on rising them until people scream.
Mm.
And when they scream, then they stop, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, at any point in time, if you have money, you can make money during high times of inflation. But if you don't have money, it's really difficult.
Very difficult.
You know, because there's so many things, and most people are at a place where, you know, when things cost 10 or 15% more than it did last year, it's difficult to survive.
I've actually just seen in an email that the UK are preparing to increase the minimum wage.
The minimum wage, right?
Yeah. But it's you know, it's funny you speak about economies and, you know, the current struggles that countries are going through. And again, the UK also released, I think a few months ago, that they're in recession now.
Yes.
I mean, I think they've been in recession for years before now, but it's come out and it's official.
Yes.
Do you still think that real estate is a good investment now?
Of course. When you say real estate has a lot of different pieces to it.
Okay.
You can't say real estate and say, is this good or bad? You have to say, what part of real estate?
Mm.
Like I would say office space is probably real bad right now because in an age where so many people can work from home, businesses have gone to the point where they don't need 50,000 square meters, right? Or, you know, they need 10,000. Or whatever. Everybody's almost everybody's cutting down, cutting back in terms of the office space needs. So if you're a developer and you are in office space needs, it's not a good place to be.
Yeah.
Now if you're in medical, if you're in
rental,
what kind of rental? Mm-hmm. You know, if you're in housing, you know that's rental, but business rental is not. What I was going to say, storage, what do you call that?
Storage units.
You know, for your computers and things of that nature. Distribution is very good in certain areas, just, you know, because of, you know, companies like Amazon and you know, it just, all the distribution centers are doing well, and medical centers are generally doing pretty well. So you got to kind of say, pick your field. So if you're in residential, it might be very good, according to what area you're in.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. You know, when most of us, when we start business, we don't have the first-hand experience. We've never done it before.
Right.
Because I remember coming out of university and saying, look, I want to register a business and start a pharmacy. The only experience I had was what I had in me,
right,
which is Derek saying that he want to do business. Now, what sort of mindset do you think an individual needs to be able to pick themselves up to say, I want to have a startup business?
You know, I think that's a good, great question. And that's a great question because I've seen a lot of people that are going to school, that are going to MBAs and all that, and they try to start business, they can't do it.
Yeah.
Because I think it takes more than that. And I'll say that I was fortunate enough to have a very poor upbringing. And so a desire burned within me. And if I think that many business owners, if you not people who get money handed to them, you know, and continue business ever, but if you want to start a business, you got to have a hunger in your gut.
Mm.
You got to have a hunger in your gut. You cannot be afraid of 18-hour days for months on end. You can't be afraid of that. And the other part of that is you have to be there's benefit in having a check every week from an employer, right?
Yes.
Get a check every week. I know, you know, I can plan.
Yes.
Everything is safe. When you're a business owner, you can't plan. You might get a big hit, but that might be the only hit you get for a couple of months, right? Mm. So you gotta think differently, and you can't be afraid. You can't have fear. You have to look forward. You have to say, you know, I'm gonna do this. No matter what I'm gonna do, I'm gonna get it done. You know, you have to take, what is that Japanese general who, when they were going to war, right? And they got into these ships, and they took these ships over to the island, the other island where they were going to fight. And the general turned around, yep, and they burnt, yes, they burnt, yes, the ships, yes, in the, yes, vine.
It's actually said, think and grow rich.
He, yes, said, he said, is that what? Yeah. Mm. He said, you know, we either win or we die.
Yes.
There's no option. And so sometimes when you take the option away from that, I used to tell people, you know, I give a speech and I say, look, how many people are going to make $1 million this year? You know, let's say 1,000 people in audience. Yeah. Maybe one person raised their hand. And he's, that person's lying, right? They're not really raising their hand. And so I'll tell you what. What if I told you that if you don't make $1 million a year, you're going to lose something very valuable, like your children. You're going to lose your children, or your parents, or whatever. You're going to lose them if you don't make $1 million this year. How many of you now are going to make $1 million a year? All the hands go up. I said, what's the difference? What's the difference? The difference is we know we can do it. It's just that we don't feel like doing it. But when when something is given to you that you have to get it done, and you will not take any other answer except to get it done, you're going to get it done. And so that's what business takes. You have to have that fearless attitude. You have to have that mindset that I'm going to make this happen no matter what. And you're going to wind up seeing adversity, you're gonna come into the almost looks like a hard stop. You're gonna have hurdles in your way. You're gonna have people telling you can't get it done. You're gonna have all kinds of things happening. But at the end of the line, your mentality is gonna be, I'm gonna make this happen. It's gonna happen for sure.
Whoa, now, yeah. Whoa, at what point did you feel you got very close to giving up? And what happened? What was the turn?
I can say I've been very discouraged. Okay. I can say I've been very discouraged. But I can say that I had to stop a business, right? I had to stop because I had to do something else. I had to make money, you know. And sometimes you fail, but you don't fail. You fall down. You don't stay down. There's no shame in falling down. The only shame is not getting up again. And so, you know, I was a martial artist. You know, I was world champion in martial arts.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And years ago. and you know, you get knocked down. I got teeth knocked out. I got broken hand and all that kind of stuff. And you know, but you can get knocked down, but you can't stay down. You got to have the attitude. I'm going to get back up, and I'm going to be successful. I don't care what. And you can get knocked down once. You can get knocked down twice or three times. So I've never come close to quitting my dream. That's what I'll say. I've been discouraged. I've been, you know, all kinds of stuff. But I've never come close to quitting my dream. If I have a dream that I want to see happen, that's what I want to happen. And so, okay, that's it.
You know, some of us, right?
Yes.
We, at any point in time, yes, there's a thought in our mind. Are we doing it right? Are we doing it right? Are we doing it right? Because you move from this business, then you add on that business, then you add on that business.
Yeah.
It never stops.
Yeah, and you can't know. You can't know, but you got to take a step down a path, and the path will show you. You know, we can't predict. We can't know. But, you know, you have an idea, all you got to do is be right 70% of the time. That's all you can't. You're not going to be right 100% of the time. It's not going to happen. But you're going to, if it's just as long as you're right most of the time, right? And you make some decisions. I can look back on my life and say, oh my God, why did I do that? That was pretty dumb. You know, that was pretty dumb.
Yeah.
But overall, most of the decisions have been proper. And so, yes, you start down a path, and usually you have to veer left or veer right. That path is not quite what I want, but I have to move a little bit to the left or right. So those things are going to happen, but you can't know. It's like all the lights are not going to be green when you start a journey. It's not going to happen. There's going to be some red lights somewhere, and you're going to hit those, and you got to make a left or a right, and you got to do whatever you got to do.
You know, in your own words.
In my own words.
You said,
yes,
if I was to spend 90% of my time in life doing one thing, then I'll miss out on life.
Yes. So that referred to living a well-rounded life. And not being... I said before, not being afraid of working 18-hour days. You know, that's a period in life. And sometimes, at the start of a business, you have to dedicate yourself fully. But there's also family, and so I'm not going to neglect my family. I'm still going to have family, and I'm still going to have exercise. And I'm still going to. So I believe in the world, and I still want to travel. I still want to see the world. Certain things couldn't happen at a certain point in time, but I understand that we want to be holistic beings. You don't want to say, you don't want to have $1 billion and look around and say, Shaq said something recently. Shaq said something very profound, the basketball player.
Yeah.
He said that he was talking to somebody else, and he, and I don't remember who he was talking to, but he said to the guy, you did it right. You've gotten all this attention. You become world champion. I was a football player. You got a ring, and you have your family. He said, I messed up. He said, I live in a 100,000 square foot house all alone.
Whoa.
You know, he said, I'm alone. And so, you know, family has become very important to me. And my wife has shown me how important family is. I grew up in a situation where family was tough. It was being raised with an alcoholic father was tough, right? It was just different dynamics. But yeah, live a well-rounded life. Church, whatever, if that's, you know, spirituality, family, friends, all of that is important, I think.
Yeah. So when I heard that quote,
yes,
that you said, then the next question that came on my mind was, then how do you, you know, balance, you know, family, business, and, you know, relationships, friendships? You know, how do you balance it? How do you do it individually?
Like, I don't know. I've done this for so long now.
You don't have the strategy.
I don't have to work as hard as I used to work, right? So I got a little bit of extra time.
Yeah.
But I keep in contact with my friends. And I try to do that on a daily basis. My family is important, so, I mean, every year we're doing something. Every Thanksgiving is like a Thanksgiving and family reunion at the same time. It lasts for a week. We take our grandchildren out for almost a month every summer. You know, just things like that, you know. And so I like spirituality, and so I meditate every day for, you know, an hour or so in the morning and sometimes in the evening. And so there's this, I find
well
space
balanced
for everything.
Yeah, well
I want
balanced
to find
very,
space for everything.
Very holistic.
And then we travel, we get to see the world. We've been in Africa for the past month, three different countries, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's living a life, man.
Yeah, that's living a life.
Yeah. And to me,
yeah.
I mean, I could be sitting home. I got some friends that sit home. But I think also just staying healthy. You know, I want to be as healthy as I possibly can. You know, I told him I'll be 72 in a couple of months. And, man, just... I want to keep on going. I want to break a world record. I want to break a world. There's a world record in rowing that I became aware of from in my age group that I'm talking about.
Right.
And I said, man, I think I can do that. I think I can. So I'm going to start working out in terms of doing this. You know, not you know, the rowing machine.
Yeah.
You know, the indoor rowing. And so, what, you know, just a goal, just something to do, just something to keep me in shape, right?
And I mean, you look fantastic.
You
look amazing.
You.
I mean, if I get to your age and I look like you, then I would say, hey, God, thanks.
Well, that's what I do. Yeah, I thank God every day.
Yeah, you know, look amazing.
Because it doesn't have to be like this. You know, sicknesses can come. And,
yeah.
You know, but yeah.
You're doing
well-rounded
fantastic.
Life is important.
Excuse me. I've got a very, very important question.
Okay.
Right. And it's important to me because I believe it's a misconception. You know, there's a lot of misconception about having a woman with her own money.
Yes.
Her own path.
Yes.
Her own dreams, aspirations.
Right.
And you yourself, as a successful businessman, is married to a lady who is also very successful.
Yes.
And I'm sure the time you met her, she was as successful as you were.
We met and we were both fledglings in our businesses.
Yeah. Right.
Right? I mean, we weren't, but, you know, we met at a certain point where she was getting started in her business. I was getting started in my business. And we just kind of grew. Our businesses grew. And we grew together. Our businesses grew together. But we had similar ideas about business and about how to grow business and about how to be successful and about how to present yourself to the world and how to sell. Because every business is, you got to sell. No matter what, you got to sell. And so, yeah, we... having a successful wife, I think, is a blessing. I don't know. I know some people are intimidated about that, but, you know, we both have our own success. We both have our own money, you know. And we there were times when she was traveling a lot, I was traveling a lot. We might be apart from one another almost 100 days a year, apart. But when we came together, it was fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, now we're together much more. You know, we might skip 10 days a year or something. You know, so I might look at her and say, well, aren't you going somewhere? Don't you have some place to go?
But we just
think, why not? Because, you know, the way I look at it is, you know, if you're a successful man and your woman is waiting for you to come home every day and you don't come home and she's worried and, you know, Gloria, my wife, has something to do. I have something to do. We have our lives to live.
Right.
And she has her dreams and her vision. Why would I want to get in the way of her dreams and visions? I don't want her to get in the way of mine. And so we have freedom to go to do whatever it is that we think we need to do. And that entails travel. And it did entail travel for quite a bit, but, you know, now it's a little different. But I enjoyed that. I enjoyed us being able to talk about our successes and our failures and you know, what they mean to each other. And we just found that relationship has brought us closer.
Wow.
That being able to talk about those kinds of things has brought us closer rather than, you know,
apart.
Mm. And she, you know, she had a lot more because she had a lot more notoriety than I did, you know, in terms of people all over knew her because she was, her business was, and my business was in, you know, certain area, what I was doing. Her business was national, so a lot more people knew her, but, you know, so you have to be comfortable with that as a man.
Yeah. No, but thank you so much. Thank you so
thank
much
you.
For your time.
Thank you.
I think you've done fantastic, and, you know, you've
I think I got energized about 15 minutes in.
I think it's been great. I think it's been great.
Thank you.
I've learned a lot. You know, I'm on a journey. You're almost living the future that I want to live.
Right.
You know, okay. So it's a lot of learning, you know, and even for the people that are listening to us, you know, going to watch this podcast as well.
Well,
I appreciate you. Because I think when you came in, I said that, look, I want to get into real estate properly, and that's construction.
Right.
So the workers doing all that projects, they work under me.
Right.
So I want to learn the ropes.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah.
I hope I was helpful.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Derek.
Take care. Okay.